We'll start by Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Please, you could leave these papers till the end perhaps and give me your attention here so that we don't waste the time. This is a critical subject. A little bit had been said about some aspects of it, and I felt it may be necessary to indulge in the explanation of this topic about the asma wa sifat lillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that when we worship Allah, we worship Him by His names and attributes, and these names and attributes, the implications of them is to let us know about whom we are worshiping so that we worship Him right. And these are fundamental aspects of our understanding of the names and attributes, and we will give the example in certain passages in the Quran, which if you come to and you read, you might say, oh, what? What does this really mean? And then you might fall into certain doubts if you are not really firm in the understanding of the asma or sifat. And I ask the brothers who drink by their left hand to drink by their right hand, using the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he said the devil eats with the right and drinks with the left, so be different from the devil. Number one, concerning the names of Allah, al-asma. The first rule to know is that asma'ullahi kulluha husna, that all the names of Allah are beautiful and perfect, husna. Why perfect? I'll give you one name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hay. Hay means living. His life is perfect, so the name is hay. Being a beautiful name means his life is perfect. Means his life is perfect. لم تسبق بعدم ولا يلحقها زوال. It was not preceded. حي, living, means perfectly living, not preceded by nothing, nor there is an end to him and to his life. So that's why it is perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alim, all knowledgeable, meaning perfect knowledge, not preceded by ignorance, and not to be followed by forgetfulness. علم كامل لم يسبقه جهل ولا يلحقه نسيان. Also, when we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about himself, وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ, this tells us that his knowledge is so perfect that it encompasses everything on a whole and in detail. It encompasses everything on a whole and also in detail. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوْ. He has, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the keys of the unseen, no one knows that except him who listens. وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And he knows all that is in land and sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا بِعِلْمِهِ. Subhanahu. And that there no tree leaves will fall down except by his knowledge. ولا حبة في ظلمات البر والبحر وما تسقط من ورقة إلا بعلمه ولا حبة في ظلمات البر في الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. Where you can find this? You find this in Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 59. Rahim, a beautiful name, and perfectly beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about a woman who find her son as a lost son in after one of the battles. She took him, hugged him, and she breathed. Said, لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم حديث لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful and much more merciful regarding his slave in comparison with this woman vis-a-vis her child. Much more. And that his mercy is wasi'ah. His mercy is wasi'ah, being perfect, it encompasses everything. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And my mercy can encompass everything. Now, when you find two names together, like عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ, this is perfectness, over perfection. Azizun Hakim. Each one of the names gives an attribute. Aziz tells about a perfect might. And Hakim tells us that perfect wisdom. Now, so Azizun Hakim, meaning that his izzah is associated with his hikmah. His izzah is associated with hikmah. What does this really imply? This means no zulm, being almighty, he doesn't cause an injustice. Which if a man, makhluq, is might, has a might, he can inflict injustice in one way or another. And also, that his hikmah is associated with his might. His hikmah is associated with his might. In opposite to the makhluk. Opposite to the attributes of the one who created. So Azizul Hakim, perfectness associated with perfectness, and that's amplified perfectness. Dakar. Refers, his name refers to the death. وتدل على المعاني يعني تدل على أوصاف صفاته سبحانه وتعالى تدل على ذاته وتدل على أوصاف. His name, three names, not with an S, not without an S, name, not name, name. His name, كلها, all the names of Allah, refer to whom? Allah, one. But the qualities, the attributes, each one of them has a separate meaning. عرفنا ذلك؟ كل منها, كل من أسماءه سبحانه وتعالى له معنى خاص. Now you read in the Quran, الحي, العليم, القدير, السميع, البصير, refer to whom? To Allah. But الحي is different from the name of Al-Alim in regard to what? The attribute. Regard to what? The attribute. This tells about ilm, this tells about wisdom or religion. Al-Qadir similarly, Al-Sami' similarly. So Allah had described himself with many attributes, yet he is Allah. The one. So, these sifat are not separate entities. These sifat are not separate entities which may, you know, separate or indicate, you know, a different God or so. Some people might think such a way. No, that's not the case. All these precepts are not distinct, separately distinct to indicate a different that. Okay? هذا ليس حق. هذا ليس even for المخلوق. Even for the one who is مخلوق. For the man, this does not apply. So how about Allah? They said, the name has implications. لها دلالات. الأسماء لها دلالات. Has implications. Implication means دلالات. And I want those English speaking lovers to write دلالات. Implication. فليه ينقل عن عربي كنونها. دلالات. دلالة. See, I'm telling you. Okay. دلالة أسماء الله تعالى implication. For example, الخالق. الخالق tells about ذات. الخالق هو الله. إذن هذه ذات الله. ثم has an attribute of what? خلق creation. It implies knowledge and ability. عرفت كيف؟ It implies knowledge and ability. So when Allah سبحانه وتعالى says about himself that he had created the heavens and the earth, لما خلق الله سبحانه وتعالى السماوات والأرض قال he said لتعلموا أن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. So that you know, when Allah speaks about the creation of the heavens and the earth, he says so that you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable of doing anything and that he has encompassed everything with his knowledge. إذن الأسماء, the name has implications. There, when you start reading the Quran, you will find for yourself. You will deduce these implications right away. Arab, when you read about the name and the text of the flow, the text that flows in front of your eyes in the ayat, you will be able to immediately, you know, without any difficulty. Khalid must be capable or knowledgeable. So, then, أسماء الله, the names of Allah are توقيفية أو توقيفية. What did I write there? توقيفية. This should be the توقيفية. That the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are tawqifiyya, meaning there is no room for logic about it. There is no room for logic to deal with it. لا مجال للعقل فيها يعني. طيب, what does this really mean? Who knows about Allah more than Allah himself? No one. So if you deny something about Allah, you are saying on Allah things without knowledge. And Allah had warned that in one verse, in which he had forbidden wicked deeds and forbidden shirk, he ended the ayah by saying, وَأَن تَقُولُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He warned subhanahu wa ta'ala that he uttered things on Allah or about Allah which we have no knowledge about. So the aql, the mind, cannot confirm or negate on its own. Cannot confirm or negate the attributes of Allah on its own. can't be a judge on the names and attributes of Allah. Now, the one before the last, it is not limited by a number. يعني أسماء الله سبحانه وتعالى غير محصورة بعدد معين. Not limited by a number. The evidence is in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in which he is making dua to Allah سبحانه وتعالى saying, أسألك بكل اسم هو لك. I invoke upon you, ask you by every name that you got. هو لك سميت به نفسك. A name that you had named yourself with. أو أنزلته في كتابك. That you have revealed or that you have revealed in your book. أو علمته أحدا من خلقك. Or a name that you may have taught one of your creation. أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك. Or that you have kept it for yourself in the علم الغيب and the knowledge of the unseen, which belongs to Allah. So the indication from this hadith, the explanation from this hadith is that there are names which we don't know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore they are much more than can be enumerated. They cannot be enumerated. Or then how about the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah has 99 names, 100 minus 1, the one who ahsaha will enter heaven. The word ahsaha here, the one who accounts for it, will enter heaven, does not indicate the enumerated ihsa by number. But it means حِفْظُهَا لَفْضًا وَمَعْنًا وَتَمَامًا لِيُتَعَبَّدَ اللَّهُ بِهَا. It means to know it as it is, in the character that it is written with, as well as in its meaning, in its in perfect knowledge of that, so that the person will worship Allah by such name. And then sixth, or the last one, is there should be no ilhad in the name of Allah. There should be no ilhad. What is this ilhad? Ilhad has different aspects to it. A, inkaru shay'in minha, denying any part of the name of Allah. أو مما دلت عليه من الصفات, or to deny any of the meaning that it may imply, or the name may imply. Denying the meaning also is ilhad, and the ilhad in the name is to twist it, twist the name, and twist the sifat associated with the name to other than what it really about, to other than what it really is. هذا معناه الإلحاد. For example also, to make it indicate attributes which resemble the attributes of creation is إلحاد. Or name Allah by names which Allah does not name himself with is also إلحاد. And to derive from it names which may indicate shirk is ilhad. Like for example, you hear of two famous idols for the mushriks of Arabia then, Al-Lat wal-Uzza. Al-Uzza is derived from the Izzah of Allah, the might of Allah. Al-Uzza is derived from that. Right? There is a foundation to produce an idol to worship. And also Allat, another idol, the name Allat, was derived from Al-Ilah, from the God. So this derivatization is Ilhad. Now we talk about the attributes. The status regarding the attributes, number one, is that all the attributes of Allah, كل صفات الله صفات كمال. All the attributes of Allah are perfect attributes, number one. كمال, perfect attributes. And then the second thing is that باب الصفات أوسع من باب الأسماء. That the topic of صفات is broader than that of the name. What does this really mean? For example, a name has a quality, an attribute. And from this quality is associated with it many actions. Associated with the quality, many actions. أن الاسم له صفة ومن الصفات هناك كثير من الأفعال متعلقة بها. So this is broad. هذا أوسع. باب الصفات أوسع. For example, many actions of Allah are described in the Quran. Becoming, descending, taking, touching, to tear many acts that are associated with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making the attributes a broader aspect than that of the name. And then the third part is that sifatullah are, number one, subutiyya, confirmative, they confirm what Allah has confirmed for himself in the book or on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subutiyya. And this subutiyya, that to Allah, implies that all the attributes are sifatu madhin wa kamal. All the attributes are sifat madh wa kamal. That they are all, they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are perfect. All the sifat. Sifat al-fi'liyah are associated with the mashia of Allah. If Allah wishes to do something, He will do it. Had al-fi'liyah from the fi'l, to ask, to do. The fi'liyah. If Allah wishes to do something, He will do it. And if He doesn't wish to, He will not. هذه الصفات الفعلية يعني تتعلق بالمشيئة إن شاء الله سبحانه وتعالى فعلها وإن لم يشاء لم يفعلها. And the wisdom in these acts could be obvious to us, and also may not be obvious to us in certain situations. The wisdom of a certain act which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do is associated with His mashia, with His will. If He wants, He will do it. And if He doesn't want, He will not do it. The wisdom behind that could be known to us, may be obvious, and also it may not be obvious. Arafna Yatwan Hadi? Do we know this now? Right. For example, let's give an example. Aina. أي نعم العلم والقدرة والسمع والبصر لا تقصر في ذلك لا تقصر في هذا خلينا على التأصيل قبل أن ندخل بالتمثيل ها For example, in the act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, كصفات, for example, النزول that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, descend in the latter part of the night, latter third part of the night, to the lower sky. He subhanahu wa ta'ala descend, this is an act, صفات فعلية, لذات الله, belongs to Allah. He descends in the best way that fits Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the most glorified way. Whenever He wishes. Okay? Whenever He wishes. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذه صفة فعلية. This is an act. An attribute that's related to certain action which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. Number, then the negative now. The negative. Al-Salbiyya. This had been negated by Allah Himself or negated on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sifat negated by Allah Himself about Himself, also negated by His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever, listen to this here carefully, whenever there is a sifatun salbiyya, okay, whenever there is a negative attribute, the opposite of it should be confirmed to Allah with perfect. You see, we are giving rules here. When you get these rules, inshallah's sake, everything by the will of Allah will be clear. Every negative attribute of Allah, which Allah did not confirm for Himself, or His Prophet, peace be upon Him, did not confirm, is called a negative attribute. And once it is known to be a negative attribute, we confer the opposite of it to Allah with best perfectness to Him. Let us give an example. Does Allah die? وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. So Allah here is negating the attribute depend upon Allah, the one who does not die. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the attribute. He is negating the attribute of sleep, of death. Negating the attribute of death. So what do we conclude here? We confirm. We confirm the attribute of perfect living. معلوم؟ عرفنا يا اخوان؟ طيب. Another example. Does Allah inflict injustice? Is injustice a negative attribute to Allah or not? Injustice. Injustice. Muhammad. Theodore, did you hear what I said? I have noticed our brother talking since we started maybe discussing things on Muhammad Isa. I hope that we give attention to this. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Allah says, Allah doesn't inflict any injustice on anyone. So the attribute of injustice is a negative attribute that doesn't belong to Allah. So what do we concern for Him? The opposite. And that is, that's it, perfect justice. Right? Also, tawqifiyya now is known, meaning the attribute, there is no room for the mind. Tawqifiyya. What Allah confirmed for Himself, His Prophet confirmed or negate, we do take, and with negation we give the opposite, which is confirmation in a perfect way. Four. Okay, now we go to this note. No technique. No tashbih, no tamthil, no tashbih. All the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to apply these rules to them. No tashbih. Or tamthil. Tashbih meaning is to say that the how of an attribute is such and such. This is called tashbih. You understand? Tashbih, which is the first one, tashbih. No taqeed. Okay. Until I get, you know, I'm stuck from this. Taqeed. Is that real? No taqeed means... Alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. Huh? Fakhras, alhamdulillah. I want to hide from you. Sifat takyif meaning the how of the attribute, you don't give the how of the attribute about Allah. You confirm the attribute to Allah because He has confirmed it about Himself, but the how of it is unknown to Allah. So we do not make a how from our own when we haven't seen Allah. How? For example, we say Allah descends to the lower heaven. The how? It's unknown. But does He descend? Yes, He descends. Okay. Tamthil. Tamthil. Giving a similitude. That's what is tamthil. Okay, what does this mean? No tamthil regarding the attributes of Allah. So we can't say that the attributes of Allah look like the attributes of human or creation. Look at this now. Even if the name could be common. Even if the name could be common. somebody is really thinking. Let us give an example here. To bring it closer, brother, you have a hand? You have a hand? You have a hand? You know, it shouldn't take that long to answer. You have a hand. So check yourself. Do you? You have a hand. Is your hand similar to the hand of an elephant? Huh? But you see, you got a hand and he's got what? A hand. So the hand is common in Benin. He's got a hand, he's got a hand. Is your power, quwwah, the attribute of you, similar to the power of a camel? No. But he's got a power, P-O-W-E-R, and you got a power, P-O-W-E-R. Quwwah, quwwah. You see? So, when Allah describes Himself with an attribute, for example, the attribute of a hand, the attribute of a face, which He confirmed in the Quran and confirmed by the Prophet ﷺ, would you make them see and say it is the face of me and you and stuff, Ta'ala Allah? Could you? No. Because the commonality here does not imply the similarity. You see, the commonality in the attribute, and he has a hand, and you have a hand, doesn't really imply or necessitate equality. And to Allah, this is even more concerned. Because to say that you are similar, we equated Allah with the makhluk. نكون قد شبهنا الله بالمخلوق في مثل تمثيل الله by one who created for one who created and this is not right, is not مشكلة. عرفنا بتمثيل لو تمثيل and تشبيه is also similar in that, for example, in a very very similar in meaning. أين نعم؟ نعم نعم يا أخي التشبيه for example in action, even in action of Allah سبحانه وتعالى you cannot make a تمثيل or تشبيه, right? And so they are interrelated in a way to apply to all names and attributes. We're not done. Now the implications of the names and attributes. Now, we confirm the implications of the names and attributes in the same way that they are implied in the Quran and Sunnah. For example, we make it that confirmation of any name and attribute, and we negate any name or attribute which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has negated or confirmed in the Quran. Now, in certain situations, there is a situation where there is no nafi and no ithbat. No nafi, no negation, and no confirmation. For example, in these cases, you hold. You what? You hold. تتوقف. And you look. Is what is being attributed to Allah, is it really right that Allah deserves to be qualified with it, or false? You see? You hold. If there is no confirmation in the Book of Allah or the Sunnah, and some speaks about a certain attribute or name which you don't have confirmation, you hold and you look at this thing given to you. To give an example, someone would say jiham, the attribute of jiham, the attribute of a place or a direction. The word jiham is not confirmed. Jiham, yani makan, in the Arabic words of jiha, actually it's more like a direction that points to a place. The word exact jiha is not used in the Quran or in the Sunnah. Jiha. So you make tawakkuf. You make tawakkuf and look. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concern for himself alone. Loftiness and height. He has confirmed that for himself. So if the meaning of jiha is indicated by this person to mean a lower direction, a low, asfal, then it is what? False. It is what? False. But then, if he says no, jiha al-ulum, the direction of highness, we say, what do you mean? Do you mean that this highness that you speak about in your jiha encompasses Allah, or Allah encompasses it? If he says it encompasses Allah, then it is false. Even if it is high. You understand? But if he says highness and Allah encompasses علوم ما إحاط بالله, هذه هي الفوقية الثابتة. You see? Then this is the fawqiyya which has been confirmed by Allah. But we tell him it's better not to use this from the very beginning. Haras? You see? But if you are faced with situations like this, this is the way you deal with it. You make the tawakkuf and you ask, what do you really imply? What do you really mean? But what you're saying? If what you really mean is haq, okay, then we say Allah has described himself in this regard and such and such. If it is batil, take it from him. Now, the sakat that deal with the sifat has obvious meaning, but they are not obvious in the house. Ma'loom? The appearance of the sifat has obvious and real meaning, yet they are not obvious in what? In the house. يعني الصفات هذه نصوص معلومة, ظواهرها معلومة باعتبار ماذا؟ باعتبار المعنى. أما باعتبار الكيف فهي مجهولة. عرفنا؟ The text of نصوص deal with the sifat has obvious meanings and real meanings in that regard. But in the how, this is the only thing that we refer to Allah and say Allah knows about the how. Allah knows about the how. Now, about the text in the Quran, nusus al-Quran. This is an important subject now that we want to give some examples and see if you have Qur'an and use them. The ruling is that we take the obvious meaning that person perceives from the text. All the text. We take the obvious meaning that is perceived. Alakul. That's perceived by us. We take it. And we know, though, that in some text, a word will come in the one text, A, to mean something, and it would come the same word in another text to mean something different. What is the criteria? The criteria is embedded in the flow of the text itself. The criteria to differentiate between the meanings of the two words is embedded in the text, in the flow, in the construction of the text. اللي هو يعني سياق الآية أو سياق النص. Let us give an example. This is the ruling. Give an example, then you will remember the ruling. The word Al-Qari, village, has been used, and it indicates different meanings in the Quran. Al-Qari. For example, in Surah Yusuf, Surah 12, Ayah 82, Allah says, وَاسْأَلْ الْقَرْيَةَ. Ask the village. When you read that, وَاسْأَلْ الْقَرْيَةَ, in the Arabic language, it is known. What is وَاسْأَلْ الْقَرْيَةَ? go and ask the village. Are you going to go to the walls and ask them? Hold on. You're going to go ask who? The inhabitants, the villagers. They? Even in English, you got them. The Arabic is so apparent. Believe me, this is not something biased to the Arabic language. لا يا أخي. The Quran is in Arabic. So, واسأل القرية. واسأل القرية. When the Arabic speaking person, the one who speaks the Arabic language, read واسأل القرية, the obvious meaning that is perceived is immediately. Huh? He doesn't need a lecture to tell him what is the Qariya. Come on, come on. Now in Surah Al-Isra, Surah 17, Ayah 16.